From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. In less than 4 weeks, a pivotal decision will be made in the primary for the Sacramento mayoral race, a race that can actually be decided on March 5th if a candidate receives 50% plus one of the vote. If that doesn't happen, the top two candidates will move to the general election, and whoever wins will begin serving a four-year term in December. The four candidates on the Sacramento Voter Guide delivered to households are epidemiologists Dr. Flojan Kofer, former City Council member Steve Hansen, State Assembly member Kevin McCarty, and former state lawmaker Dr. Richard Pan. Over the next four Thursdays, we're going to sit down with the four leading mayoral candidates. Today, former council member Steve Hansen joins us about why he believes he's best to lead the city, as well as his top priorities if elected. Good afternoon.
Hi, Vicky. It's so great to be back on Insight.
Thank you for making the time. I can only imagine how busy the weeks are leading up to the primary. You're really no stranger when it comes to Sacramento government. You were a city council member from 2012 to 2020. You know the inner workings as well as the challenges that face the city. Was it a natural reflex to run for mayor?
So it's funny. I reflected for a long time. When I left office, I didn't intend to ever run again. But as a poor kid whose parents divorced when I was young, we moved around a lot. My mom had abusive boyfriends. We were in domestic violence shelters, ate at soup kitchens, government cheese. I've always felt so extremely lucky to have made it to the other side of those experiences that I've always felt an obligation to give back. And in 2022, it's not last year anymore because we're in 24, but I worked downtown. I run a small business. I lived on the grid for 22 years. We moved to South Natomas last year. It got so bad, I decided rather than just getting angry, I would do something because I thought I could make a difference. And so that's why I ran.
When you say it, what is that specific it when it got so bad?
You know, some unhoused people burned a duplex and a fourplex down that was across from us. Our daycare at 12th and D, surrounded by camps and fires and syringes, people jumping the fences. But our employees, even at my business, were being harassed. I saw so many things, and it just felt like there wasn't the attentiveness to taking care of that renaissance that I was so proud of working on during my time on council. The stuff I was really proud of was falling apart, and I wanted to do something to put us back on track. Sacramento is a great American city, and I think we deserve an active and attentive local government, and that's what I want to do.
And I know that local governments, including the city of Sacramento, as well as the county of Sacramento, the state as a whole, has devoted unprecedented resources to this crisis. I mean, if you become mayor, what can you do within your first year where residents will feel a tangible difference in the right direction?
Yeah, well, I mean, homelessness is the number one issue, and homelessness is one word for 1,000 problems. So there's no magic wand that's going to fix it. The county, I think, has really turned a corner in how it's approaching things. Their stay sites have been, I think, relatively successful and are a model that the city should be emulating for how we can approach it. But in the roles of government, the city is not funded to do social services, mental health. That's the county's role. So that's part of why we need to partner. But a mayor's job is to keep the city safe, to make sure it's clean, and to help our small businesses and economic situation thrive. And right now, it feels like we're losing so many of our small businesses. We're losing people who are opting to move out of town to the suburbs. Even for me, people kind of jaw dropped when I told them I moved to South Natomas, because I am such a part and part of the legacy of the grid. And so I think we just need to get back to work. This is a city where we have to work for a living, and that hard work is good luck. So just getting back to the basics, I think, is a key part of making it better.
When it comes to the county, and you see that they've rounded a corner, I mean, as you know, the city and the county need to work in tandem on this, and something that they've actually agreed to on paper following the passing of Measure O. But there is tension. There have been lawsuits between the DA's office and the city. You would inherit this. What do you do?
Well, I think a lot of this has been because, whether it's the city or other governments, there's been things that have been adopted, but the voters don't see the outcome. So these investments aren't producing tangible results. So really using an evidence-based approach, like you would in healthcare or other places, to step back, see what's working, what's not working. We know we need to build a lot more housing at all levels of affordability. We know that Care Court is finally here, and that can make a big difference. This is why I'm supporting Prop 1, which is the reform to Prop 63, the millionaire's tax, so we can build more psychiatric beds, which we know we have a terrible shortage of. But also, as we look at getting people with severe mental illness off the streets, we have to partner with our healthcare systems, our community clinics, and that whole ecosystem. So the city has a role to play, and my job is to convene as mayor those partners and see where we can play our best role. But public safety is really important. You know, our staffing in the police department's lower than during the Great Recession. We have 100 vacancies, and those are funded vacancies, but right now we use overtime, which is a lot more expensive, and we're burning people out. So we're losing good officers to other jurisdictions. People are retiring early. And I think getting us back to a place where neighborhood safety is improved, response times are improved, is a key piece of the overall feelings of what direction Sacramento is on.
Following a debate that was held on KVIE, you addressed this about wanting to fill the vacancy of 100 police officers within your first year as mayor. Why is this one of your top priorities?
Well, right now, what I hear the most from people is they don't really feel safe in their neighborhoods or where they work or where they shop. Some of that's, you know, the retail theft going on. Some of that's just they see people doing drugs or hurting other people. And even when we went to Santa Parade in December with my two kids, I have a 4 and a 6-year-old, it was very bad downtown. The conditions in not just downtown, but in other neighborhoods throughout the city, people are really upset. And so law enforcement isn't a be-all, end-all. We have to pair it with social services and the other outreach work we've done. But we definitely know that we need, at least on a per capita basis, a lot more officers than we have if we want people to feel safe who've been victims of crime.
And funding for the police department, I mean, it has been controversial, especially in recent years. You can just go to city council meetings. There are passionate public comment from residents who argue that it isn't the best investment to serve the communities that are most impacted by crime. What is your response to that?
Well, the city, like any city, our primary duty is police, fire, parks, and public works. And so we know there are bad people out there. We're not going to get rid of our police department. I disagree with one of my opponents who wants to defund the police department to the tune of $70 million, which was just in the B last week. And I also believe that most of the region, most of our city, wants good officers. They want to be held accountable if they do something wrong. But they see the police as a positive if we continue our progress in making sure that they're well-trained and well-prepared. Because, you know, even the shooting at Grant High School, I think it was about 2 weeks ago now, the first responders there, Grant Police, Grant Unified School District Police, sorry, Twin Rivers Unified School Police and Sac City PD, it gave the community comfort that something was being done quickly. And if you make a call to 911 and no one shows up, or it's going to be a 25-30 minute wait, that's a really bad thing for a city like ours. And that's not what the public wants. Mm.
The city also has a unique dynamic, being that it is a weak mayor city versus a strong mayor city. And Mayor Steinberg has expressed his frustrations with this, not being able to get some of the items that he was passionate about across the finish line, because effectively you're just one vote. And you've been a council member during both Mayor Steinberg's term as well as his predecessor. How will you collaborate and compromise with a different city council that is now there for effective change?
Well, my record on the city council, I was able to get things done that most people now take for granted. The Museum of Science and Curiosity was a very difficult lift. We got votes for that. Now, that's a good thing, but building bike lanes, building housing, there's a lot of things out there that were really hard and were not necessarily going to happen. But as a poor kid, I was never given anything. And so I've always had to work with other people to build coalitions, to build support. And because of that, I'm not afraid to compromise, to work together, to get the city the progress it deserves. Look, to those who are given much, much is expected. But here in our city, we have an egalitarian city. We need to work together. We're supposed to work together. There's no demigod who can point at somebody and say, if you don't do this, I'm going to punish you. And that's one of the problems with being a capital city, especially in California, where we have these megalopolises like LA or the Bay Area. They dominate the culture. And Sacramento is treated in a lot of ways like a second-class city in the psychology of the state. When people want to complain about the legislature, they say Sacramento did this to us. Sacramento did this to us. Well, the city isn't doing it. It's the state capital. So we've got to reshape how we see ourselves and claim our opportunity, fight for what we need, and make sure that everybody knows that we're all hands on deck. We're going to work as a team and we're going to get this stuff done.
Given that you were in city council during Mayor Steinberg's first term, and prior to that, it was with former Mayor Kevin Johnson, how do you think Steinberg has led the city?
You know, I've known Daryl for 22 years and we've worked together well. He and I don't always agree, and we've did some good things together. Our work on the arts, the convention center, the theater renovations, some of the housing projects. I would handle the public safety and homelessness issues differently, but I also believe that you can't fault Daryl for trying, but I also think that former legislators are not always an easy fit for local government because when you're in a body of 120, it's just different. How you do business is different. And I don't fault Daryl for not trying. He tried very hard. But I also think that there's a humility that I bring to this, having been a former council member. And you know, losing a race, just like losing my mom last year, or these other things, these terrible things that might otherwise want you to curl up in a ball and never leave the house again. You get back up, you dust yourself off, and you go again, because ultimately that resilience is part of how we move the city forward. Because if somebody just says no once and you give up, then you're never going to have anything. But we're a city that, like I said, has to work for a living.
The mayor has yet to endorse any of the candidates. Is that something that interests you, his endorsement?
You know, I respect the mayor. I think he's talked to all the candidates and he'll do what he thinks is right. I'm focused on my campaign, on talking to neighbors. We had a meet and greet in Southland Park last night. We had a forum in Curtis Park the night before, put on by neighborhood associations. And I'll go and talk to anybody, but it's the voters that are going to make this decision, not an endorsement, not donors. The voters have to choose who they want to lead us into our future. This is our city. It's our future. And we have to fight for it, because I don't believe anybody should be on the sidelines when it comes to making sure Sacramento is the best it can be.
You mentioned having to overcome and navigate losses or things not going the way that you wanted. When you lost your election for re-election for city council, that position is now held by council member Katie Valenzuela. What did you learn from that experience? And are you applying any of those lessons to this campaign?
Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of my friends are wondering, you have such a good life. You got two beautiful boys. Like, why are you doing this? It's because I love the city and I will never give up on Sacramento. And, you know, people lose things that are really much more significant than an election. And taking my dad off life support when I was 25, lose it. My brother went to live in a group home when I was 7. I haven't lived with him since. He aged out of that group home and still lives with the family who ran it. So I look at that as just a piece of my story, and it's not a defining characteristic, but I am tenacious. I am hardworking. I don't give up, but I try to work together and build the kind of community that we deserve. So I'm not perfect. Nobody running for office is, but I will give Sacramento my all. And I think that is exactly what we need at this juncture to put the city back on track.
If you are elected mayor, I know you're well aware of this. The city is facing an estimated $50 million budget deficit for the upcoming fiscal year, and it likely, very possibly, may not be the only year to prepare for financial challenges. How will you prioritize funding city services?
Well, we have to protect core services. When I joined the council in 2012, we didn't know it was the tail end of the Great Recession, and we'd put in place some very important fiscal policies, creating an economic uncertainty reserve. I passed a policy to make sure it was 10% of the general fund. They have a choice this year of whether they tap that or not. The truth is that during the Great Recession, we had a revenue problem. But right now, this deficit is a spending problem. And we have to make sure that while we protect our core services, which are the purposes of a city, police, fire, and park services, that we also position ourselves for the inevitable transition our city is going through as a government center to something much more interesting and creative, which is a destination, not only for our region, but for people from all over, festivals, concerts, arts, food. Obviously, we call ourselves the Farm to Fork Capital, but we're such a wonderful place to visit that you know, there's a blessing in disguise in this transition that if we grab it, I think we can build a much more resilient economy. But the budget deficit is going to be difficult, but we have to be smart and strategic about how we shave off costs, but also reposition ourselves to make strategic investments to grow the economy.
We only have 30 seconds left. I'm curious because you were Sacramento's first openly gay council member, and if elected, you would become the first out gay mayor of Sacramento. Is that more than a headline or a city milestone to you?
So I'm very proud of the work I've done. You know, there are a lot of people out there who really see it as inspiring that we're breaking those barriers. I'm just really focused on the idea that we need our city to be clean, safe, that we need people to be housed. But for my family, for my community, it is a point of pride. And I'm really happy that as mayor, I can make sure that everybody feels welcome in the city of Sacramento, that we're not only inclusive and open when it comes to LGBTQ issues, but our Afghan community, our Persian community, our South Asian community, our Latino community, who felt under attack just like my community, know that this is a safe, welcoming place where they can be and do whatever they are called to do.
Steve, thank you for the time.
Thanks, Vicki.
That is Sacramento mayoral candidate Steve Hansen, who was also a former city council member. And a note, Steve Hansen did join Cap Radio's governing board back in 2021 after he left the council. He resigned from the board in May of last year prior to launching his mayoral campaign. And as I mentioned, this month we're going to be sitting down with the four leading candidates for mayor next Thursday. We'll be joined by epidemiologist Dr. Flojan Kofer. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.